Jason DeRussia off this Friday. Big, big, big grad party coming up this weekend for his youngest, Sam, who's headed off to USC. He's got both coasts covered, Chris. Seth's in New York. Sammy's in L.A. What could be better, right?
I guess that's when you have a sibling, you just want to get as far away from them as possible.
That's, you know, my brother and I, the only two siblings in the family, love the man dearly, as I'm sure he adores me. But we do need our distance.
Mm-hmm.
We do find that the more we're together, the friction sort of just, it's not good. It's not good. I love him. I love him. We just have very different.
You love him, but you need some distance.
You do need some distance. So I'm asking folks on the text line, 651-461-9226, what should I get Sam DeRussia for his graduation party gift and bonus points if it's something that creatively tweaks his father a little bit? Texture says, a shirt that has a photo of Jason with his index finger shushing someone. I'm a de-shusha. I like that.
I like that.
I like that a lot. Another person says, gift card to Certix, not the liquor store, but for the cheese shop. I mean, he's still underage, so the liquor store would not, but maybe, you know, cheese shop, he might like cheese. Another texter says, get him a monogrammed flask, which, you know, I suppose you could put non-alcoholic beverages in a flask just because it's normally used for that, right? Doesn't mean it has to be. But my aunt checking in says, a picture of myself and my brother, who was Sam's teacher once upon a time, together for his dorm, and write on it your two favorite male role models. See, my family's on the ball with this one. I love it. I love it. I'm not going to read the latest text that just came in, but
everybody needs some good cooks in their life.
Oh, there you go. That's very, very true. Very, very true. It's 5:10. That means it's time for the Rush Hour headlines.
Now, time to get you caught up on some of the biggest stories of the day. These are the DeRush Hour headlines.
Good evening. Our top story.
This just in.
Our top story.
We begin tonight.
We begin with the lead.
Starting on the lead today is a statement that was issued by Senator John Hoffman and his wife, Yvette. Those of you who've been following this story, and it's been, of course, all over the place, know that Senator Hoffman and his wife were shot multiple times each in their home by the man that went on to kill Melissa Hortman and her husband, Mark. And they were through multiple surgeries, the both of them, and have finally been able to put together a family statement. And if you haven't read it yet today, it is worth taking your time. You can find it, Star Tribune, Pioneer Press. It's all over the place. But I want to read you kind of the last couple of paragraphs, because this is where I really think they hit the nail on the head. They say, we are heartbroken to know that our friends Melissa and Mark Hortman were assassinated. Our daughter Hope and Sophie Hortman went to school together. And we know that they, along with Colin Hortman, will have each other's support as we all walk through the devastating consequences of that horrific night. We want to thank all of those at Fernbrook School behind the GoFundMe account. You'll be helping us pick up the broken pieces of our lives. We are uplifted by the prayers and support from so many across the state of Minnesota and the country. Thank you. And this is where it really, to me, drives the nail home. Choosing to work in the public sector, even in as limited way as John's career as a senator, has always meant sacrificing a level of privacy. But now we are grappling with the reality that we live in a world where public service carries such risks as being targeted because someone disagrees with you or doesn't like what you stand for. As a society, as a nation, as a community, we must work together to return to a level of civility that allows us all to live peacefully. The future for our children depends on that. We'll be praying for that work and appreciate all those who will join us. Sincerely, John and Yvette Hoffman. And again, earlier in the statement, they described the events that happened that night, especially the role of their daughter, Hope, who is flat out a hero. And I hope, pardon the pun, I hope she's given some sort of public recognition for what she did for her parents and on that night that helped eventually lead to the capture.
I could not imagine being a child and being in that situation.
Seeing that happen to your parents?
Fight or flight, and to sit there and fight and be there with your parents, that is an amazing, an amazing characteristic that is ingrained in her to have that character.
Presence of mind to be able to call 911 and give them an accurate description of where you are and what had happened and where this guy was headed when you last saw him. She's a hero. She's flat out a hero.
She is.
And she deserves that recognition. But it's that last little bit, too, that I want to make sure we refocus on, is this idea of civility. The governor has given some words to that effect. Other politicians in the state have given words to that effect. I hope they follow through. I think the governor's credibility on that isn't the greatest in the world. given some of the things he said very, very recently.
Yes.
But this isn't – we have rushed this entire story to say, oh, it's that. It's their fault. It's the folks on the left that are doing this. It's the folks that are right on doing this. Mm-hmm. You know whose fault this is? It's ours. It's yours. It's mine. That we've allowed this political culture to so dominate everything we do to the point where if we disagree, you're evil, you're the enemy, you're horrible.
Well, and we want to instantly blame somebody and put a label on something.
Yeah.
We're like, oh, well, this person was a Republican. They were a Democrat. It's your fault. It's this person's fault. We want to make the other side look bad for whatever happened without having all of the facts.
I mean, the mental gymnastics that some folks on the far right were doing to try and make this guy a Democrat, it was astonishing to me,
mm-hmm.
as was the folks on the left's rush to say this is all Donald Trump's fault.
Absolutely. Yeah. As much as people in both parties have their issues, we need to be careful to not tie things to someone or something that we do not like because it makes us feel better. Sometimes things happen and they are not connected. And we need to remember that not everything has a story where everything is interwoven.
I'll finish again with John and Yvette Hoffman's words. But now we are grappling with the reality that we live in a world where public service carries such risks as being targeted because someone disagrees with you or doesn't like what you stand for. That has to stop. That has to stop. And it's on all of us. Forget the politicians. It's on all of us to say, no, this isn't acceptable and we won't stand for it. Next story on the lead is our friend Chris Schaefer, who joins us on the John Schuster Coldwell Banker hotline to talk about the heat this weekend. Chris, it gets hot in Minnesota in the summer. This isn't necessarily a shock, but why is this such a big deal this weekend?
I think it's a big deal because not only is it going to get hot, but it's going to be extremely humid. And, you know, you talk to most Minnesotans, they're almost like they want to live in Arizona. I love the heat. I don't like the humidity. Yeah, I get it. I'm in the same way. And it's going to be a bad combination of the both. I mean, our highs are going to punch up into the 90s tomorrow, mid-90s, and the dew points are going to be in the low 70s. And that's like Florida kind of humidity. And it's going to stick around through the whole weekend. So Sunday, you're looking at the mid-90s again for a high with those dew points in the low 70s still. And one of the big concerns is the overnight temps tomorrow night into Sunday because we just don't cool down. It's possible our overnight low is going to be around 80 degrees. That's our average high this time of year. And why that's a problem is a lot of people don't know this, but when I go around to school visits and quiz kids, I always ask them, what do you think the most deadly types of weather are? And they all guess tornadoes and hurricanes.
Yeah.
And it's actually heat, Dan. It's heat. And I think part of the reason is people don't really fear heat. They oftentimes look forward to it. So it can creep up on you, especially if you're elderly and you live in a building that doesn't have air conditioning. You just can't escape the heat, and that can lead to respiratory problems and everything. So as much as I encourage you to take advantage of the warm weekend, this is the stuff we dream of in January, you got to be smart about it, too, and stay hydrated. Make sure you, like, I'm going to cut the grass this weekend, but I'm not going to do it at 3 o'clock in the afternoon, Saturday or Sunday.
Not peak heat time? Morning. That seems like a smart idea to me.
Yeah, do it in the morning, do it in the evening. And remember, too, if you're walking your dog, same thing. They suffer from it just like we do.
Yeah.
So take the pooch for a morning walk. Take one for an evening walk. Don't do it in direct sunlight on the asphalt at 3 o'clock in the afternoon when it's going to feel like 106 in the Twin Cities.
So when is this? I mean, when do we really have to start paying attention? Because I came into today thinking today was going to be a scorcher. I even wore shorts to work, and I never wear shorts to work. But it feels decent out there right now. When is this going to really start to be a problem?
Okay, first of all, you're just trying to show off your legs. We all know that.
Well, there's that. Yeah, I mean, you know, people are only human.
The dew points have been silently and quietly creeping up throughout the day. So it's a lot more humid out there right now than it was early this morning. So when it really kicks in is this weekend, really tomorrow morning, because those highs are going to creep up into the 90s. It is going to stay humid. You would think you'd catch a little relief because the wind is actually going to be a little stronger the next few days.
I noticed that today. Too,
Yeah, but the comparison I make, like if I throw some pizza rolls in the oven and I open the oven to look at them, you know, that that burst of hot air that comes out at your face. That's what that wind is going to feel this weekend. So, yeah, great.
That'll be fun. So what do people really need to know? What do you do? I mean, obviously, we talk about staying inside and in air conditioning if you can. Hydration, obviously, is a huge, huge component of this as well, right? Drinking plenty of water?
Yeah, for sure. Even if you think you're drinking enough water, you're probably not. Because the biggest problem you have with the heat, your body, the way we cool ourselves is when we sweat. And it's not actually the sweat. It's the sweat evaporating off your body. A great example, you get out of the shower and you're cold, you know, once you turn that water off. That's because the water droplets are evaporating, and that's what cools our body. But when it gets this humid, like it will be this weekend, it doesn't evaporate as quickly, so your body doesn't get the chance to cool down. So, yeah, tips are pretty easy. We talked about avoiding the peak heating times out there, but drink more water than you normally would. Don't stand in the sun. Stand in the shade. Go 10 feet over to the side and get there, or maybe do some shopping or do something inside during those peak heating hours, and then enjoy the time in the morning and in the evening when it's not quite as dangerous.
Going to be a steamy one at the DeRussia grad party this weekend. Chris Schaefer, appreciate the time. Thanks so much.
You got it.
You know, a movie theater, I was thinking as he was saying that, if you can afford it these days, because holy cow, but the air conditioning at the movie theater cannot be beat.
It is awesome. Yeah.
So, you know, plan a couple movies you want to go see. If you have that extra $100 laying around, this would be a good weekend to go for a movie marathon at the theater. That's The Lead. Coming up next on page 2 of the DeRussia Hour headlines, we're going to have a whole series of stories about what's going on in the metro area this weekend with the heat and much, much more. Stay tuned for that. It's 520. You're listening to Drive Time with DeRussia on 830 WCCO. It's too long for the Chad Hartman show, I can tell you that right now. 525 here on WCCO.
What is it with everybody here taking shots at each other?
Well, he savaged Star Wars earlier today, and I'm still grumpy about it. I'm still upset. Of course, I also know that part of the reason he savaged Star Wars is because he knew I was listening, and he was just trying to tweak me, and I'm too dumb or whatever it is to not take that bait.
He got your goat.
Totally got me going. It's page 2 of the DeRussia Hour headlines, and we start with an unfortunate story. Yes, AP, our friend Adrian Peterson, has gotten himself in trouble again.
Peterson, into the open, midfield, 45, and there he goes! To the 10, touchdown!
Paul Walsh reporting for the Star Tribune. Vikings legend Adrian Peterson got into a scuffle with a fellow card player at a club in his native Texas, according to video obtained by TMZ. The fisticuffs erupted on May 27th at Joker Stars, not far from his home in the suburbs. TMZ's sports platform reported on Thursday. They say that Peterson acknowledged that, quote, one thing led to another after he and a friend had a disagreement at a gaming table. Video obtained by TMZ showed Peterson absorbing punches to the face before he countered with a few blows of his own. But he tells TMZ, me and that guy, we're cool. It was literally like a brother situation. We agreed to disagree. We had our words. We threw blows. And that was it. This is the latest bump in Adrian Peterson's road to recovery after he was in Minneapolis for the team's NFL draft party and was arrested on suspicion of drunken driving. Pulled over for speeding on a Twin Cities highway with four passengers, according to the state patrol. He blew, I believe, a .14. That evening, which is nearly twice the legal limit in Minnesota. He now lives in a suburban Houston. He was booked at about 5:15 a.m. on a misdemeanor count of fourth-degree driving while impaired, posted a $4,000 bond more than 2 hours later. So he had the DWI issue. Now he's at the poker club throwing hands. Not a good run for AP. Not a good run. Are you familiar with the term fambushing?
How's your mother?
Seems like a direct question. Sarah Bregel writes for Parents Magazine that she's not alone in feeling like she's constantly being tracked by her kids. Parents everywhere are experiencing the same thing. The suspicious spying trend is being called fambushing, a fitting play on ambushing. And according to some parents, their teens aren't just bombarding them with texts. They're even showing up at the locations unannounced. A mom named Krista, who posts on TikTok, shared her own recent fambushing incident in a video that went viral. She said, quote, when your daughter stalks your location and sees that you're out eating Mexican food, The user wrote over a video of her daughter walking into the restaurant from the parking lot and then happily chowing down on a quesadilla. "I hate Life 360," the mom joked in the caption, referring to the family tracking app that helped her daughter find her. Now, this is an app that was initially intended for parents to track their kids, and now the kids have figured out, hey, wait a minute, this is a two-way street. So mom and dad are at the store. I see they're at the store. I send them a text, hey, get me some stuff while you're at the store. Fambushing.
We have Life 360.
How does that work for you guys?
We know where each other is at, which is good, but, oh, boy, this is something, because our daughter's going to start driving very, very shortly.
Oh, boy.
And we're trying to keep an eye, okay, you know, where she might be. I'm going to have to talk with my wife about this.
Yeah, because next time you're at the store, you're at some place where she wants something, she could turn on the Life 360, say, hey.
While you're there.
Dad's at the store. Pick me up some stuff.
No, well, she already does.
Fambushing. You're starring your ketchup wrong, maybe, possibly.
Their ketchup's coming a lot slower than ours does.
That's not good manners. Oh, you noticed our Heinz. Here, taste it.
You could go down such a rabbit hole on YouTube if you wanted to with commercials from the 70s and early 80s, by the way. It's hilarious. Yes, you might keep your mustard in the fridge, but your partner may balk at the idea, right? Who's right? The fine print on most of those bottles says refrigerate after opening, but is that really all that much help? It turns out that urging is rarely about health risks and more about quality, according to a professor of microbial food study at Cornell University. Dressings separate, bright sauces darken, and fiery flavors fade given enough time. Spoilage microbes might even get a foothold, making condiments and other ingredients unpleasant, but not necessarily unsafe to eat. All of these processes are slowed down or even halted in the fridge, but they're already heavily inhibited by low levels of water and high levels of things that bacteria don't like salt, acid, sugar, active probiotic cultures, et cetera, et cetera. So do you even need to refrigerate? Well, Carla Schwann, who's the director of the National Center of Home and Food Preservation at the University of Georgia, says a good rule of thumb is if you bought it from the refrigerated section at the store, it should stay in the fridge at home. Now, if you tell me that I got to have a professor to tell me, hey, dummy, you bought it in the refrigerated section, keep it in your refrigerator, otherwise vice versa. Really? I think we're spending too much money on higher education.
Microbiological food decomposition professor?
Sure.
That's a lot of words to tell me don't put mayonnaise after it's been opened at room temperature.
Did you buy it in the refrigerated section? Then keep it in your refrigerator. Oh,
What if you bought it not in refrigerated, and then you've got to put it in the refrigerator?
Oh, my goodness. Are you kidding me? I'm trying to remember. Was it Parmesan cheese? I was dating a gal at one point, and I wasn't storing that in the refrigerator, and she just went bananas. She thought that was the craziest, grossest thing ever. And ever since then, I've stored that in the refrigerator. I may be doing it completely wrong. I have no idea.
It's nice to know that that's the one thing you took out of that relationship is Parmesan cheese.
I didn't say that was the one thing I took out of that relationship. Anyway, that's page two here on 830 WCC.
That's what I'm saying.
The Rush Hour headlines. Twins baseball is coming up 6:30 pregame tonight as the Twins start a three-game set with the Milwaukee Brewers. We will check in next with Dan Hayes from The Athletic. Talk a little Twins baseball coming up after traffic and weather in this break right here on 830 WCCO. 5:38 on 830 WCCO. Twins pregame coming your way at 6:30 this evening. Henry Lake will follow me here on WCCO. Lead you straight up to pregame, but we join Dan Hayes to talk a little bit Twins baseball. Dan, how you doing?
Doing well. How about yourself?
Excellent. It's always a pleasure to talk to you and to talk baseball. We've also been talking, by the way, about Jason's son Sam has his graduation party this weekend. So I've been crowdsourcing ideas for gifts for young Samuel. Because you do the card and the cash, and that's easy, right? I mean, I can just do that, and the kid would probably love it, right?
Yeah,
but I thought, you know, if you could do something where maybe it would tweak Jason a little bit along the way, you know? So we had somebody that said, how about a T-shirt that says Drive Time with Dan Cook on WCCO Radio?
that's a good idea. I mean, like that.
Yeah, I'm not sure Sam would appreciate it, but it would accomplish my purposes.
Yeah, especially because it probably would impact Sam's ability to go to college. But, you know, that's okay.
That's okay. My favorite so far suggestion from the text line was to get him a hairbrush and have it personalized that says DeBrusha.
Okay, these are good ideas.
Right.
I have no good ideas. I'm not even going to.
You're not even going to try it?
I was going to come up with a practical idea when you're.
Oh, who wants practical? Why be practical?
Exactly.
There's no reason for that kind of nonsense. Let's talk a little Twins baseball. Not a good road trip for the club. Ended on a positive note, but that was not what they were looking for when they headed out on this road trip.
No, it wasn't. Played some close games. It's funny, except for the very first game, everyone was close. And the last one, obviously, which they won. But lost a couple of one-run games, three-run games, and then the rain out or rain-shortened game on Wednesday. Although, as someone on the elevator from the press corps mentioned, it's not rain-shortened. It was rain-lengthened by 3 hours.
That's true.
So, it was full of just what-ifs. Like tiny little moments where, you know, we'd seen such strength out of the Twins earlier this year and saw them fail in clutch spots. The bullpen, you know, 2 days in a row in Houston didn't come through. And then the third day, Brock Stewart struggled. It was unlike them for sure. Yeah. And, you know, it's weird because I thought they got some, this team is about vibes. This team is definitely about feeling up and down and getting on a roll. And they got a lot of those vibes back, I thought, in the last 2 days, especially the way Bailey Ober turned it around mid-start Wednesday. It was ugly the first couple innings, and then it got way better. It looked like old Bailey Ober, and they need that in the worst way. Chris Paddock was not very good yesterday, and yet he fought through it and retired 9 of the last 10 batters. And the offense just kept adding yesterday in absolutely crucial spots. The Ryan Jeffers double, the two-out, two-run double comes to mind. They were up 5-2. They had an easy chance to get one there and make it 6-2. And Brooks Lee, who's been on an absolute tear, struck out, swinging on a hideous pitch, trying to put the ball in play. And it looked like they might, you know, strand two in scoring position. And instead, Jeffers doubled. And they need those kind of moments. They've been missing those moments for a little bit. It's something they were doing last month, and I still think they're capable of it. The offense went into a rut for about 2 weeks here, and it really started Kansas City, Cleveland at home.
Yeah.
So maybe it's actually more like 3 weeks now that I'm looking at the calendar. They had a brief little respite in Sacramento where they came out of it, but that's an easy park to hit in and a sort of a junior pitching staff.
Right, say,
now
an easy team to hit off of too. Yeah.
Right. Yeah, exactly. So, It was encouraging to see them do that yesterday because Cincinnati is a good pitching staff. Cincinnati has done really well pitching all season and is a good team. But they needed some of those signs. They needed Matt Wallner to break out of his 0-for-20. Carlos Correa really turned it around, I think, starting Wednesday. He's walked three times and tripled his previous walk total for June. So, you know, you get those kinds of things going when you're talking Buxton, Wallner, Correa, and Lewis. Those are your four best hitters. And to not have Lewis in the lineup and have Correa struggling and Wallner struggling at one time, leaving it all to Buxton, that's a big, big load for one guy to try and carry a team. And to get two sort of feeling good as they come back for a hot, warm weekend at home, that's not a bad thing. They seem to see the ball well at Target Field. And these are tough teams coming up. Seattle pitch is great. And anytime the Molitor Cup is on.
Brewers are always tough. Brewers are always tough. And you know there'll be a bunch of Brewer fans there as well. So you hit on a lot of things that I want to ask you about. First of all, you talk about, you know, leaving it on Byron Buxton. He has done everything you could possibly ask Byron Buxton to do and then some. I know the team's pushing him hard for an all-star berth. That seems to me like it should be something of a no-brainer. But you never know because of the roster limitations. But I mean, is he entering, call me hyperbolic if you want, but is he entering the MVP discussion at some point here? Because he's doing everything.
Yeah, they need to win. They need to play better. But if he played like this and they kept him on the field and they were in the playoffs, absolutely he enters the MVP discussion. Now, look, nobody's stealing it from Aaron Judge if the Yankees win.
That's sort of difficult.
You're sort of playing for second place, but there's no way that Byron can't be a top five guy if he is able to stay out there 120, 130 games. And look, 120, 130 games, that's a lot to ask for a guy that's only played 100 twice. But, you know, I know he's being smart and taking it day by day with that kind of stuff, and he's not trying to be big picture, and that's how it needs to be.
The number of times this year where he's made a spectacular catch and followed it with a home run, I think I've lost count at this point. It's crazy.
And there's so many things that he does.
Yes.
I mean, he's 12 for 12 stealing bases. He always takes that extra base. But I think the thing that's most impressive is, and since he came back from the concussion, he's had 72 plate appearances. He's struck out 12 times in that, and he's walked 9. He clearly has a better feel for what opposing pitchers are going to try to do to him and what he's doing extremely well. And laying off the ones that are not good for him and trusting that what the pitches that he does believe he can do damage on, that he will.
Yeah.
And, you know, you can see that, and his bat speed's there. It's just so fun to watch when he is going like this. And we've seen it at least a half dozen times where he is this good.
Yes.
And then it gets knocked off track by
an
injury.
Yep.
We didn't see it in 2023, and that was the second year in a row where he had the knee surgery, and you thought, is the knee ever going to be the same? Well, I'll tell you what, it is.
Seems to be working just fine.
It looks, I would not have expected him to look like this. And you just hope it keeps going, because we always have to guard against the fact that injury happens to him. So
it certainly seems to. Speaking of keeping it going, you brought up Carlos Correa, and I imagine it's fascinating, given what I know about Carlos and how he interacts with the media, as somebody that's following this team day to day, to watch him struggle to open the season, then he finds something and gets red hot in May, then it goes away, and now it seems like maybe he's found something again. He's such a cerebral, intellectual player. It's got to be fascinating to follow that process that he's gone through this year.
Absolutely, because even like going back to the when he was feeling the back thing in Sacramento and hearing him kind of work through the process and be like, oh, yeah, I knew that, you know, he could feel when he was slipping at the plate that it was his back and how it was being impacted. And knowing then by comparing with the flat ground in the cage and he didn't feel anything, just realizing how in touch he is, how dialed in. He's just a highly intelligent athlete. He knows himself so well. And so it's I could see, I guess, when you know yourself that well, if you're that much of a thinker, how you can get in your head when things are going wrong. And maybe that is what happens from time to time. But when he gets locked back in, it gets to be very entertaining. And, you know, we talked to him on Wednesday right before the game.
Mm-hmm.
And we talked about that one walk in June. And this is a guy that walks 10% of the time. That's a stunning number for him to walk one time in like 13 games. And he said, look, I'm working on some things. I haven't been able to check my swings. I haven't controlled the strike zone. I'm getting there. And the thing that stood out was that he had convinced Rocco. Here he is in the middle of all his struggling. And he convinced Rocco to take like 15 swings off a tee in the cage. And Rocco did it. And it's like, wait, you're not so caught up.
Right.
That you're able to like enjoy, and he talks about that, enjoying the work, enjoying the process of fixing things. And so I think that, you know, that helps him solve these issues. And then you see it, and he's walked 3 times since, and he has got 3 singles and 6 at bats since. And he, you know, Bobby Nightingale was the first to walk over there today. He said, so did you speak your walks into existence? And Carlos was like, you guys held me accountable. We should visit more often.
Well, hopefully he means it, right? That's great.
Oh, he does. He loves it. Hey, Carlos is a media savvy dude.
Yeah, he knows what he's doing.
Yeah, he's a fun ball player.
For sure. Last question. We're talking to Dan Hayes from The Athletic, talking about Twins baseball. You talked about Bailey Ober finding something. That's key. Joe Ryan's been fantastic for this club this year. They bragged about their pitching depth coming into the year. That's been absolutely tested, of course. Now you got Pablo on the injured list for a long time. Zebby's hurt. That depth is suddenly gone. Do they have enough pitching with what they have now, and what kind of room is there for them to make any kind of deal?
Yeah, I don't know about adding a pitcher as far as making a deal. I mean, it's just I don't know that they want to give up the assets that it would cost to acquire. Last year, I think it would have cost them Luke Kuechel as the starting piece just to get Eric Fetty. And Eric Fetty's a good pitcher, but that's a high price.
For sure.
So I don't know if that room is there. That doesn't even take into account salary with the team up for sale, adding salary with the team up for sale. But, like, as far as they still have enough, Festa's talented. He's got to figure out how to get that second time through the lineup and succeed the way he did the first time through. There's going to be lumps. There's going to be growing pains there. Simeon Woods Richardson, we've seen him show it. And then he pitched great on Sunday. So I think it's there. Really, what's key is getting six innings, yeah. five plus.
Because that was the thing with Sim, right? Is he only went five yeah. innings?
Right. But I think it's key on the rest of the guys, on okay. Paddock, on Ober, Ryan, being consistent for gotcha. Them and giving them room to use the bullpen when these guys struggle in their outings. And that can keep the rotation, the whole staff healthy. So,
got it.
You know,
got it.
Yeah.
Dan Hayes from The Athletic, talking Twins baseball. We appreciate it. You joining us every Friday. If you think any good grad party gifts for me, give me a text and let me know. Otherwise, I'm probably just going to go with the DeBrusha.
I like the DeBrusha.
I like the DeBrusha too. Thanks, Dan. Appreciate your time.
Right.
We'll take a break. Traffic and weather coming up next on 830 WCCO.
Let's take the current temp of your Minnesota Twins. Brought to you by Chef IQ Sense. Get your wireless meat thermometer now at chefiq.com.
It was a rough road trip, Chris, for the ball club. Temp of the team right now. I mean, they had a nice win to finish it. Some people found some things. Byron Buxton is hotter than a pistol.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. Can you get him up to lukewarm right now? I don't know.
No, I would say it is room temperature at best right now.
Okay, room temperature.
Room,
I like that.
Room temperature
I'll go
right
with
now.
That. I'll go with that. Three with the Brewers this weekend. Pregame coming up at 6:30 tonight. Henry Lake will get you ready for pregame starting at 6 o'clock. Texture says, does the DeBrusha hairbrush come with a hair club gift card? Ha, ha, ha. I don't think Jason used hair club. He used a different thing. So I mean, maybe we can hook up a gift card for that. But Sam's got a fantastic head of hair. I mean, really, really nice head of hair. So
must be something in that bloodline there.
The DeBrusha. I'm probably going to go. I love all these suggestions. You guys have come through splendidly. I'm probably going to go with the card and the cash. Because, again, you're a college kid. You're headed off, you know, this grand new adventure. You know, as much as I'd love to give him the T-shirt with my face over his dad's logo, I just don't know that that's really going to.
I mean, I don't know what you're I mean, I yeah. The ladies would love it, though.
Well, I mean, how could you blame them? I mean, seriously.
I mean, you're going to be so over at UCLA.
Thank you.
USC.
Chris, thank you so much for helping me out today producing. Jonathan Lowe is going to step in for you. Henry Lake, as I said, will start at 6 o'clock, and he'll get you up to Twins and the Brewers. It's the Joe Ryan experience for the Twins tonight. Let's go get this series started on a good note behind Joe Ryan. If you are going to the ball games this weekend, please bring water. You can bring an empty bottle to the ballpark, fill that up at their drinking stations. But be careful this weekend. Take this heat seriously. It's going to be nasty. Be safe, check on your neighbors, and have a great weekend. Thank you so much for listening. My name is Dan Cook. You're listening to 830 WCCO.